These religions came to being when? Out of religions, I mean. When masters left the sea. Those who met them, they also saw the mystery of life, they knew themselves and knew yourself. These formations were raised with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit from joining that formation. As long as there were practical people who could give you demonstrations of all these things, it was going all right. For as time passes, for want of practical people, and further, from the day the state preaching had started, you see, the preaching was only for those people who found some mystery, solved the mystery, and could explain practically to the other people. Now it has become a profession activity. Knowledge. Result is the same formation, result in stagnation, and stagnation results in degeneration. When come up, Master, well, dear friends, you're going to meet, what is all this for? God is light, we are the children of light. We are all born in the same way, we'll all produce like the same outer sensation, inner sensation. We have got bodies, we have got intellect, but we are conscious entities, we have known so much about physical body, intellect, but no literal understanding, practically have got a mind. Theoretically we don't know. But unless you rise above body consciousness, how can you see? Masters come to open our eyes. Quran says that God sealed our eyes and ears, we are standing on here. And the Master come to open those seals from the eyes and from the ears, so they will be able to see and to hear. So when you come to the Masters, you see, our inner eyes close, so to say, spiritually we are blind. In the Master's terminology, blind means whose inner eyes not open. Not that we have two, not two eyes or the four eyes, but whose inner single eye is not open. So we come to the Master, you see, first we don't see, we are blind, inner, when you close it, you don't see anything. When you are sitting, you begin to see something. What? Light of God? You begin to hear the music of the spheres. We are dead before. He opened those feet. This is what Christ also said, I have come, what for? To make those people see who do not see, and those who see, they may be blind. What does that mean? We see outside, so our attention is here. When it will be dark from that, you do not see anything outside. If you draw your attention is on ourself, that darkness is thin and we see light. So these are practical things, you see. Awakening is coming always, men awaken minds, they revolt. They are not satisfied with the mere blindly following only ritual. They must be put before them what these stand for. Pity it is, the outer temples, churches and other places of worship, they have overrided the true temple of God. I would say like, true temple of God is man body. Models were made outside, showing such light and such a sound within you. This was meant for the beginner. Those inner eyes are not open as yet. For those whose eyes are open, for them the man body is the true temple of God. So unless you rise above body consciousness, as I told you, withdraw your attention from all outside and from the body below, and you know yourself, only then the inner eyes open, you see the light of God. So for that you see what is required, ethical life. If you are too much given up to the outside world, how can you draw our attention from there? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So for that, We see now, you see, can we see that thing? General question put to you, Master. They say, yes. You can see him now, but with proper guidance and help. When you have given something to start with, some capital to start with, if any man comes up to give you a very wonderful talk on business lines, but those who have given that talk, whoever has got no money, you must give them some capital to start with. So, this matter of knowing oneself, the practical demonstration to be given by some adept on the way, called him by any name, who is word made flesh, who sees and can make you see. This is all masters, everywhere, in all cities is laid down. If you want to see God, open your inner eye and know yourself first, then you see the open eye, inner eye open and see God. Come to somebody who sees and who has seen and makes you see. If he himself doesn't know, truly speaking, he cannot give you the right interpretation of the scriptures also. But scriptures contain only what the old master saw and gave up. Now the right interpretation can be given only by someone who has seen or sees. And we are not convinced unless we see our own self. So the criterion of a master is given as given by scripture is what? Who can give you a demonstration how to rise up a body consciousness, know yourself, open your inner eye, see begin to live. And you testify it is so. It is not something to be given to you later on in life or after death. Where's the proof that you have it after all? The word in hand is better than two in the bush. So Master gave out something to start with the very first day, and then we have to dwell further. And give, he says, stop no further. Past action reactions go on. Stop, you make your life clean. For that he advises what? Die. So my purpose is, proper guidance helps you can know God. So word made flesh only can give you God. Word is the controlling power, us in the body. It is the God in creation power. So teachings of the masters are what? Sum up to man-making. Man-making not only physically, not only intellectually, but spiritually too. We have, of course, known ourselves physically, intellectually also. But we have known little or nothing. For that is in all master sense. So there are some cornerstones to have these, to know oneself and know God later. So first thing is to know oneself. Unless we have known ourselves, we can't like and know the life. So this is first argument. For that everywhere you find all masters have given reference to these things. Christ gave out and said, you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation, it is in your very people. Unless you draw from outside, you see, how can you see? It is we who have to see. And we, the outer expression of which is not, attention is identified in the world outside, how can we within, which is controlling us in the body? I am looking at you in front, but I don't look behind. Unless you see behind, what is it? How can you see what is here? There is something like this here. Our attention is to be riveted. This is truly speaking no oneself. When you see some power is working. So for that you have to rebound. One is this man body, the other is the beyond. Knowledge of the beyond, that is the reply. By knowing which, nothing else remains to be known. So Master gives you But you have that second birth at the feet of the Master. They give you a demonstration. You must be reborn. Raman Sindhu also twice born. In the old days, 5 years, 7 years old children, 9 years old children were made twice born. They were given Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra means praise, it's a prayer, O God, raise us above these bodies, open your eye to see the rays of the sun, rise up to the sun, O God, direct our attention to that. This is a prayer. The demonstration of this light was given to 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children. That ritual still stands among Hindus. They are made twice born, children are made twice born. They are given the same mantra, but no demonstration. That is why all masters have said, learn to die, so that you may be intelligent. To die means just leaving the body at will. While alive, it's the same process as one man at the time of leaving the body. When you have that, you are not to die forever. I mean, in actual death, the cellular cord, which is based at the on the reaction like past is broken, you are not to return. But in this, you can then come and go. Those who know how to come and know oneself, know over God, there is no fear of death. What is that? It is leaving the physical body and going into the beyond, sunset this way, rising the other way. But it is for those who have sat at the feet of the Master, they can rise above body consciousness regularly, daily. That is the thing, because I die daily. Only if you take cross daily, you are not my disciple, Christ said, isn't it? Unless you take cross daily, you are not my disciple. Disciples, those who leave everything, take cross daily. Take crossing daily means rise up. So these are some things, you see, given in the scriptures, very, which can be had practically at the feet of somebody who knows that you can do. Wanting a demonstration of that. So for that there are some cornerstones, you see, and that is first is satsang. Meeting, sitting at the feet of those who have solved the mystery of life, who see God and they see you. They see the God in you. And open your inner eye, a single eye, to see the God of the spiritual power which is light in the form of light itself. And they tell us one thing, not only giving lecture on that, they give you a practical demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. The same process that you got at the temple. For that, naturally, we cannot rise above body consciousness unless we are not attached to the world too much. So, an ethical life is required for that. If you have given up to voluntary way of living, how can we die anybody? So truth is above all, the true living is still above truth. That's the keynote to know oneself. The other step comes for keynote is to sit at the feet of the Master, or at it on the way. And third thing, to follow implicitly what he says. He will give you something to start with, you have to dwell further. That's not the end all, ABC starts only. When the world class is at this religion starts, ABC of the religion starts. So go on, it is just the beginning, I say. Then there's the astral body, there's the causal body, there's the supra-body. You have to go beyond, shake off all these bodies in which we are enveloped. So these are the... That is why, you see, we don't like to die. Nobody wants to die. We want to live here for some time more. Why? Because we do not know how to leave the body. That's a no bugbear, it is leaving. Man body rise above. I come from India. no more there, I am here. I have left that place. Since I have released this physical body and rise above it, that is why, if he, daily I have come already twice, now I am not afraid of coming up here, because I know there is a place, my friend there, you see. There is something like that. Though the Master gives you the demonstration of this rising of a body consciousness, first thing, ABC. And for that I say, the key to knowing oneself is actual life. To sit at the seat of the Master, have a demonstration. And live by according to command. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is what Christ said. If you don't know, take God daily, then you are not my disciple. These are the things, even all masters in their own language. As your conversion is the Bible teaching, these are the same. I have written one book, you see, Nama Word, giving quotation from all scriptures, original quotation. You find this thing? This is the basic teachings of all masters. So, of course, there are two knowledges. One is of the exalted side, which is called Aparavidya, which is called Sofina by the Mohammedans, and the inner knowledge is called Paravidya of the beyond, that starts only when you rise above body consciousness. So long as we do not rise above body consciousness, we are strangers to the life beyond. So we are afraid of, as I told you, why we are afraid of dying, why we want to live here, because we do not know how to leave the body. All glory and beauty lies within you. You are given a demonstration of it in you. Daily practice to rise, you die daily. Then it is pleasure to go. Kabir said, people, when they hear the name of death, they are terrified. And when I hear the name of death, I am more dying. See? The astral plane is more visual than the physical, and the cause is still more. Right. So this is the keynote to knowing oneself. And that has been the teaching of all masters who came in the past each that was. So we want to start with something to start with. And this is one for all mankind, whether you wear on the labels of one region or the other, that makes no difference. No?
We have 20 minutes for questions and discussion, and then 5 minutes for a blessing.
You teach that God is Sat-Chit Ananda.
Sat-Chit means Sat-Chit eternal. Chit means all wisdom. Ananda means Lord Jaya. And our soul, we have got in our soul the same three aspects. We have got reflection of that in our soul.
The last part of the question was, do you teach that God is form? Form.
God is form, and God is formless, and God is even beyond both these. When God is absolute, nobody is. When it came to expression, some form is taken, light or whatever it, you might say, and when that materializes in man's body, so something like that.
When you reach eternal life on this earth, in this body, can anyone take it away from you?
If any body master has met us, did not Christ say what I have seen and known in anybody, nobody has any power to pluck him away from me? So, world made flesh, you see, when he gives you something to start with, that is never, she will never pass away, never perish it. That remains. This is with the grace of God, people are having it, of course, and with the grace of my Master. They are having so far. Not me, but the God in me, you see, and the grace of my Master.
Why do we not see the light and hear the sound when we meditate faithfully?
The reason is given you see, if you heard the talk attentively, this has been explained, I think, more than half an hour. Why do we not see? Why masters make us see and how to see? They withdraw our attention from outside and from the body below, raise up to the level of the eye level, where the single eye opens. When until that eye is open, you cannot see light. If there is somebody who gives you a sitting and makes open that inner eye, you will see light. Because our attention, which is to me, which is outer expression of our soul, that is not withdrawn from outside, and reason of our body consciousness, that eye is not open, we cannot see that. I explained that thing, that now, quoting Christ's words, I have come to make people see who do not see, and those who see, they may be blind. This is attention, you see, diverted from outside, and we talk from the body when you rise up to see that. But if you can do yourself, then it's good. If not, have the instruction or some experience with somebody who can give you, then the God in him will be able to give you.
Question back there.
Master says that when you come to the eye focus or the seat of the soul, which is the inner eye, and you meditate at this point,
attention will down from outside. Attention will down from
outside. Withdraw from outside. In other words, in meditation is a form of prayer, as we all know. Everything from the eye center down, you block out with your mind first. Then you control the mind and look with your soul, with your entity, into the darkness, which is here. And your God self will raise you up and give you light, and as you move upward, you will hear the sound. Master said this morning that you are a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. And this, there's no way you can be separated from God. It's just a question of finding out how to get closer.
Practical things can be had by being practical. It doesn't happen.
There's a question back there. If you are an initiate and your children are, and they will not do the meditations, what can you do about this?
What?
It says that they're an initiate and their children are initiates, but they won't meditate.
Then what to do? They send all children to me then. Look here, one thing. You have brought up children, and you cannot make them sit for that. What are your hair be both blunt? What is the use of people like you having parents, you see? Those who not set example for the children and make them do something politely, friendly, and lovingly. So that example is better than beside. If you sit down, children will only copy. They will give two
children to
copy.
Children should copy.
Yes.
If you sit and meditate, they will come to copy you. Who are the Varanashi?
If you take I mean responsibility to make him sit morning and evening and that's it. Adhere to the strict vegetarian diet. You hear that?
Another one. How many still your mind to meditate? Can you remind
look here. Mind is, you see, after enjoyment. If you give me more enjoyment elsewhere, you will leave these outer enjoyments and enjoy that. The giving more bliss, that is within you, giving you a demonstration. If you attach your mind, will never come out.
If you continue to let your mind wander and have its way, there is no limit to what the mind will demand of you. You are the entity, the soul, is the boss of the mind. The mind is an instrument. Make it work for you. Do not be a slave to it. Block it out. Give it the order. It will obey. It takes time.
Well, more if you get more bliss inside, not the other.
More bliss when you go inside than when you let it go outside.
Does your name have a meaning in English, Sri Paul's name?
Yeah.
What does it mean in English?
Names carry no meaning, see? Kripal Sen means, Kripal means gracious, that's all, merciful.
Can there be several such questions at any one time on that planet?
Merciful.
Can there be several such masters?
There can be no order to pass rule against it, you see, because master is the word made flesh. Word can manifest anywhere. Word is the master, not the son of man, but the son of man is spirit in which he manifests. So light is the same bulb, but the many bulbs be lit by that light. There's no order. It shows the habit.
Is it a mistake to think of God or to worship God as a person?
God, you see, formless, with form, and both beyond form and formless. When it materializes, manifests in any human pole, we respect him naturally. Bulb is one fuse, the other photon, the other. There are so many bulbs. The bulb in which light is connected, from that you can get light. He is the worship of the light in man, not the son of man.
Worship the light in man, not the son of man.
We respect that thing which that bulb is, that light is working.
Respect the son of man.
And you'll find that such like men where they lived, they became the places of pilgrimages.
Wherever these men live, you find their place of pilgrimage.
All this will be solved when you know yourself. That was the subject today. And knowing oneself comes when you rise above body consciousness. That's a practical demonstration. When you see, you testify yourself what is what, life, God is life. When you see for your own self, no testament required. And that's the criterion of a master, that you should not believe him unless you see that with your own eyes and hear that with your own ears. That's the criterion of a master.
Can you ask for blessings?
What?
Can you give us the blessing?
Yes, yes. You are
it. Oh. We can be here all the time. You are so seldom with us.
Oh, my blessings are with you. God bless you all. What I didn't know, I put before you in my talk, about 50 minutes. Just if you're not part of it, you may have personal interviews to clarify more things. I'll attend the talks which are to be given, not tonight and tomorrow and the day after. Also attend the meditation hours if you want to see things for your own self, that will give you something to convince you that there is light within you and not there. Somebody asked the master, how can the outer faculty be inverted? He said, better sit down and see. So this is a practical question, to see one for all, man or thyself. Whether you have been in the label of one school of thought, this or that makes no difference. That shows only in which school of thought you are giant to know God. But to know God, you must know yourself first. This is the first step. This is the, what is it? What is that by knowing which all else becomes known? This is knowing oneself first. The whole thing is which is spirituality starts when you know yourself. When the world philosophy then, there the religion starts, truly. Read it back, give you to bind back your soul to God. In a nutshell, it's all that. But it's a practical question to be seen practically, not decided by intellectual reasoning. Intellectual way helps to understand things, but to understand, then have it practically. So my blessings are for you. I pray God may God draw you nearer to Him from day to day, wherever you are. We are all brothers and sisters in God.
Hello, and welcome to the satsang of Master Kripal Singh. The recording that was just played was the last 30 minutes of the talk titled, Why Do We Not Rise Above Body Consciousness? Master gave this talk on 26th October 1972 at Chicago. Our reader this evening is Christine Clevenger. Hello, Christine.
Hello, Pradeep. Tonight I'll be continuing Master's talk called Right Understanding Exalted. It is available in the June 1972 Satsang Desh. When I was searching for truth, I can tell you that my search was intense. I would start to read a certain book in the night, and without ceasing, would study the whole night through, only to rise in the morning with yet no way out discovered. The books held very good thoughts, like green orchards, very refreshing. The heart starts to desire those things mentioned therein, but how? The books say, God is ever-existent. No place is without Him. He is ever apparent. But how to see Him? This is the burning question, is it not? I can only repeat that it is a practical subject. In this regard, Bhuleshah says, why read this pile of books, burdening your head with all these thoughts? Read the words, leave all calculations. Drive away these atheistic ways. Is it not true that one becomes more confused by excessive reading, tiring the brain needlessly? Bookish knowledge is all wilderness. There is no way out. The love of one should dwell in your heart. That is all. Is this not the purpose behind reading scriptures, to love the Lord? Tulsi Sahib says, reading and reading, the whole world died. No one became a teacher. If you dwell on the word love and develop that in yourself, you will become a real pundit or teacher. The purpose of reading is to become a devotee of the Lord, and to love all beings, as the Lord is in each one. People do not do this. Instead, they become lecturers, etc., but they do not develop love in themselves. All the world's conflicts are due to lack of love, and all conflict is due to those who did not realize the truth, but chose to become powerful through learning. And they are responsible for the discord and strife from which mankind is suffering. Had they realized the truth, they would have spoken it out, but they said, no, only our religion is the right one. In this way, they drove one religion against another. They built controversial conditions, and then sat down and watched while men shed their blood for these useless causes. We have a clear example in the partition of India and Pakistan, which came about through such like conditions, and those who created them sat aside while approximately 1,500,000 persons were butchered needlessly. If they had had even a little right understanding, this tragedy would never have happened. Some years ago, during our Hazur's lifetime, There had been some trouble in Multan, now in Pakistan, between some Hindus and Muslims. Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj went there and held a satsang, hearing which the people said, "If only you had come earlier, this trouble would not have arisen." Masters come to the world to join the brothers and sisters together, not to break them apart. And they come to rejoin the souls back to the Lord. This is the work of the masters. They say love. In love, there is oneness, union, not aloofness. Nam is the sustainer of Khand and Brahmand. To realize this Nam is the right understanding. The only pure thing is the Nam. Tulsi Sahib says they chant the four Vedas, 18 Puranas, 9 Vyakaran, and 6 Shastras, but lose the truth given out in them. Such is the case with followers of all religions. They go on reading their holy scriptures, parrot-like, and do not follow the meanings underlying them. Not only was the truth lost by reading all these, but he also says, without knowing the Surat Shabd, one is like the Chandul bird, and can imitate all words without the underlying meaning. While the attention or soul does not meet God, the Oversoul, and surrounded by mind and senses remains a prisoner because it has not been analyzed from them, then what is the value of book learning? Tulsi Sahib likens this to a Chandul bird, which copies any sound it hears. It does not mean that one should never write or think, but alone they have no value. The true aim behind reading the scriptures, if one fully understands what one reads, is to gain the realization. Since the world began, Jiva did not leave the books, did not get true happiness. What a clear statement. We just cannot let go of the holy books and scriptures. Of course, outer knowledge is like a garland of flowers adorning a realized person, who will then explain the path of truth in many ways, and thereby help the different types of seekers to understand. But a realized soul is a realized soul, with or without worldly degrees. And whatever he says is pregnant with meaning, overflowing with love and truth. Sheikh Sadi says that if a learned man is unrealized, then reading and writing is like a donkey's burden upon his head. On this very subject, Guru Amar Das Ji says that it is like making a sweet dish without any sugar, stirring it with a spoon from morn to night. Will it give it any sweet taste? So Guru Nanak is explaining the importance of right understanding. When you meet a true Satguru, you get the jeweled right knowledge. Giving your mind to your guru, you get the imperishable love. Right understanding will only come when the soul transcends the mind. Just think about it carefully. You are on the mind's level and as yet have not solved the mystery. If you remain at that level, how will you get full understanding? When Swami Dayanand went to the Guru, he had his books under his arm, and the Guru said, "Dayanand, first throw away those books into the river." Dayanand asked the Guru the reason for this order, and the Guru replied, that which I want to give you cannot be got through books. They were holy books. He threw them into the river. It is a very good example of Guru Bhakti. If it be considered a sin committed against the holy scriptures, yet he did not commit a greater sin, that of disobedience to his guru. I read once that sometimes when Dayanand could not understand the true import of the written words, his guru would beat him with a stick. On such occasions, Dayanand would say, "Maharaj, I am a great trouble to you." What very fine guru bhakti he had. Guru bhakti is a matter of love, when heart speaks to heart. When you go to a realized soul to get right understanding, go with all humility. Put aside your views. What you know, you know. While you are with him, try and understand what he is saying. Consider the level he is speaking from, and then compare your own knowledge. Many would hesitate to go to him for pride of their own knowledge. The man of prominent worldly position will not go, for he is intoxicated with his own power, and a rich man will not go, for he is lost in pride of wealth. Remember, the God-realized person cannot be bought with money, impressed by power, pushed by force. When you go to him, put aside your own ideas. After all, no one can rob you of them. We make the mistake of measuring what he is trying to say with what we already know. We have heard that before. So-and-so said that, etc. Brothers, he will say all this and more, for he must speak on man's level for fuller comprehension, and will quote many truths that others have said, that the seeker may find his way more easily. But the fact remains, if the seeker wants to receive, he must still his intellect for a while and sit in all humility. If the cup is placed below the pitcher, it will be filled. But if it is placed above the pitcher, how can it be filled? That is why it is said, when the mind is sold to the Sadguru, such a disciple's work is crowned with success. When Ashtavakra gave the knowledge to King Janak, do you know what he asked for? He asked the king for his body, his wealth, and his mind. Body and wealth are sustained by the mind. So wherever the mind goes, everything goes. Guru Nanak is telling us that if one gives the mind to the guru, one gets the permanent love. Swamiji Maharaj says, "O knowledge, you are very ignorant. You know not the value of a master." Masters are a surging ocean of love. Love for the Lord and love for humanity. But man would test them with his intellect. An impossibility, for they are full of the nectar of love. In their company, true hankering for thee bursts forth to have an overflowing cup of love for God and humanity. Put aside your intellect and become receptive, and then you will see. Once in Berlin, Germany, during my talk, which was being interpreted from English to German by an interpreter, the audience told the interpreter to stop, as the interpretation was not necessary. we understand more from his eyes. Eyes are the windows of the soul through which the intoxication and the import thereof is conveyed. Giving up the mind does not mean one loses one's reason or intellect. It means, first of all, to still the mind completely and fully grasp what the guru is saying. If you put aside the I-hood, you will get the right import, thereby becoming receptive to absorb the perpetual radiation of power from the guru. Kabir Sahib has warned us what can happen. Mind is given elsewhere. Body is in the master's company. Kabir says, "How can you dye an unbleached cloth?" Swamiji says, "Do satsang by being receptive. Someone. It does not matter if you do not understand the words, if you can be receptive. For his radiance will give you some intoxication. That precious jewel of understanding, which you gain when you meet the Satguru, is priceless, invaluable. But it is not received at the level of the mind. The mind must be stilled for a while, and then you will get such love. Love like a surging ocean. It will surge within you. Your whole being will be uplifted by this overflowing love. After this, your mind can be stilled at will. O Lord, how can we leave the company of such a saint by seeing whom the mind gets stilled? You can say it is a judging criterion for a master, for you cannot get this gift in the company of intellectuals. The waves of truth are ever flowing through the true Satguru, and those waves affect the sincere seeker. Even though the disciple is thousands of miles away, the same effect can be received by directing the attention. If radio can pick up transmissions from thousands of miles, why cannot our surat become affected? Swami Vivekananda was said at one time to have been an atheist. He would challenge people, saying, "Is there anyone who has seen God?" He finally found Sri Ramakrishna, who in those days lived in Calcutta and who was a realized soul, although he was not learned academically. Learning is the mother of books, and knowledge is the mother of all. Ramakrishna had knowledge. If he had no special book learning, did that matter? Swami Vivekananda put the question to him, "Master, have you seen God?" And Ramakrishna replied, "Yes, my child, I see him as I see you, more vividly than that." He was satisfied. Later, when Vivekananda went to the United States, he was requested to represent the Hindu religion at a parliament of religions. Now, sitting among one's own countrymen and giving a talk amid familiar surroundings is vastly different than addressing a selected gathering and discussing with distinguished members of the clergy. After speaking for about 10 minutes, he suddenly became nonplussed, bereft of words. A speaker may pause for a drink without creating any misgivings, so he asked for a glass of water. While quietly waiting for the water, he put all his attention on his guru. Now, guru power, or you can call it God power, is working at that human pole and is ever present. As he concentrated upon Sri Ramakrishna, he contacted a wave of guru power. He started speaking even before the water arrived and went on to speak for more than 5 hours, causing eventually a good deal of anxiety among some of the clergymen. If Vivekananda had stayed in America longer, all would have been drawn to him. So to achieve this jewel of knowledge, the Satguru is essential. One gets an intoxication from a truly realized soul just by focusing the attention on the Guru, thereby becoming receptive. A man who is proud of his mental development and advanced intellect may see the Guru on an occasion, but he gains no effect from that. This is the difference in men. Remember, the mind is material, not conscious. Furthermore, it is besmeared with the mud of ages past. A magnet can have no effect on dirty, mud-covered iron filings, but if they are clean and free from soil, they quickly respond to the magnetism. The master can be likened to a most powerful magnet, and our soul is of the same substance, but besmeared with the muddy experiences of our past. Remove the mud, and it will naturally be drawn to its source. Put this to the test. Sit beside a master and put your mind altogether aside for a while and see how much bliss and intoxication you receive. Love will then begin to grow and overflow in you, for God is love, and the soul is His entity, a drop of that ocean of love. Although it is at present scattered widely in 1,000 attractive outlets at the mind and sense level. Separated for a brief space from all this outer tinsel and centered or concentrated, it will be dragged toward that love which gushes forth from the perennial source. This is an established law. We read the words of the masters, the valuable gems they left behind, but we rarely understand their true meaning. So he tells us, giving your mind to your guru, you get the imperishable love. You receive the gift of salvation, which erases the dirt of all sins. With right understanding, the mind is cured from the state of diffusion that it suffers from by the soul-filled glance of the Master. Is it not said in the scriptures that salvation is gained through the Nam or word? What is that Nam? That is the name or word of God which sustains all creation. And when will you get this gift which erases all imperfections? When you sit beside a master in a receptive mood. Even if you do not understand the language he is speaking, yet you will gain the benefit of the radiation. If you also understand his words, so much the better. Guru Arjan Sahib says, by coalescent darshan, all sins are finished. Becoming fully absorbed and in union with someone is different than merely seeing a person. It must be a coalescence. The two hearts should become one so that the soul is receptive. Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Only the masters can understand this subject. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. This is what is called Guru Bhakti. If you are really devoted to someone, you will obey that person. Christ also said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Wherever love is, a human being responds. The masters tell us that the right understanding is, you are not the body. I am not the body. You are a soul. I am a soul. Our life sustainer is God, and my soul is in unison with him. By his mercy, you will also be rejoined to him. The God power working in the Guru guides the disciple constantly. So if you receive this gift, all your faults and imperfections will be erased. Our biggest fault is that our attention is scattered, disseminated among outer things. This is our basic problem. But when the mind starts tasting the higher nectar, why would he revert to lower enjoyments again? Oh, brother, without the Guru, there is no knowledge. Ask Brahma, Narad, Ved Vyas. In the Srimad Bhagavat, it is written that when Brahma made the four Vedas, he became very sorrowful. Do you understand why? Because reading, writing, learning, and the acquisition of letters are not necessary for realization of the truth. He says, "Go ask Narad about this, and Sukdev, son of Ved Vyas. This thing cannot be realized without a guru." When the mind is stilled, one receives the radiating waves of the Guru, which are already emanating from the human pole of the Master and have great charging. Those who are receptive enjoy these charged waves to the extent of each one's receptivity. The learned and the unlearned both can become receptive. But as long as the mind is not set aside, there is no spiritual advancement. He tells us to go and ask anyone in authority, and they will tell you that it cannot be achieved without a guru. Guru Nanak also says, "Without a sat guru, no one had knowledge of the divine, and no one can have it." Concentration upon the indescribable sound principle, the nod, is the knowledge. That sound cannot be expressed in words, but is given various names. Udgit, nod, word, nam. To experience it is true knowledge. And of the greatness of the Guru who makes possible this knowledge, Paltu Sahib says, "Whoever can make the sound coming from the Gagan, or seat of the soul in the body, audible, he is my Gurudev." Whoever can make it possible for one to hear the sound at the Gagan and connect one to it is truly a guru. He gives a little way up and opens the path. That great light, which is God's, leads one's attention away from outer attractions. It is a small experience with God. My guru gives me the light of the Lord's Nam. In the Gayatri Mantra, the same thing is mentioned. O Lord, take us to the light of the rays of the sun within. go and search for such a personality who can reveal this light to you wherever you can find him. Why can we not have this knowledge without a guru? Understand very carefully that we are surrounded by the senses and have become the very image of the physical form. We have forgotten our true selves. When one asks a small child who he is, he opens his mouth and eyes wide and tries to express what he is, for he has some awareness left of his true self. But when he grows up, he declares, "I am Ram Dass, I am Ram Singh, I am Mr. Khan," etc. That small fraction of awareness has gone, and to regain that awareness, we must have the help of a guru. If 100 moons and 1,000 suns arose with all this light, there is but dense darkness without a guru. If the inner eye is not open, how can one see? This third eye is called the Shiv Netra, the third eye, the single eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Also, if the 10 senses are controlled, in that soul will the light become effulgent. And here I will stop and continue this at my next reading. This reading is called Right Understanding Exalted and can be found in the June 1972 Satsandesh. Thank you to our gracious master.
Thank you, Christine, for reading this for us. There were 56 of us in attendance today. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you, Master.
Actually, the life is stepping stone to spirituality. We must be chaste. We must be honest. We must be forgiving. Forgive and forget. That's the only remedy for anger.